Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to a bonus San Diego Comic-Con edition of Cinematic Universe. I'm your host, Joe Cunningham, and joining me to discuss all of the news coming out of SDCC 2022 are...
James Hunt.
Bruce Williamson coming in hot with the news.
It's so good to be here in San Diego as well.
All that everyone who receives the Marvel money obviously gets a free trip out. We got our own private Comic-Con while the pandemic was happening.
Take you to Hall I.
Yeah. Nice to be back there in person this year, but you know, our personalized at home pandemic experiences were nice as well. As predicted on our last episode, which listeners, hopefully you've listened to our last news episode, where we speculated about some of the stuff that might be coming at Comic-Con, mostly from a Marvel point of view, and I think we got some of it right, and we missed on some other stuff. But
fucking Muggsy Malone here was like, oh, well, I think we'll get the Fantastic Four cast and director announced, but they won't do the timeline till G3 Expo. Fucking eat a bag of apples, idiot.
Because the big idiot thing we got, and we will get into all of the individual stuff, but the big thing that we got was the timelines. So we now know what constitutes phase 4 and phase 5 and kind of the, it looks like the key, like, tent poles in phase 6 with probably some stuff to be filled in around that.
Sorry, Joe, did you say phase 4, 5, and 6? Sorry, do you mean the multiverse saga, mate?
I mean the multiverse saga.
I don't know if you've, that's what it's called, so just maybe use the name now, yeah?
Yeah, weirdly, this saga gets a name one phase in, as opposed to the Infinity Saga, which got a name after it finished.
They put the Blu-rays out, right?
Yeah, after the box sets were ready, yeah.
Shit, we need to find a way to make this more discreet. Okay, here we go. Sagas, and they've got names. We're in the Multiverse Saga. The Multiverse Saga kicked off with WandaVision. It wasn't due to kick off with WandaVision. As I was Googling around in prep for this episode and looking for that timeline, the original Phase 4 timeline popped up, and like it was, yeah, Phase 4 was supposed to be done by the end of 2021, and Ms. Marvel wasn't in it, and then someone said, so yeah, there's already been some changes. Hopefully a pandemic won't disrupt the rest of this stuff. And I figure, guys, should we go through it project at a time? Because some of it is we've got new trailers to talk about. Some of it we've got nothing new to talk about. Some of it we've got release dates. But I think when you go through it step by step, it helps to give you a bit of a shape of the whole thing.
Daredevil's in everything, so we've got quite a lot of Daredevil. He's in every single one of these fucking things. We suddenly went from like no Daredevil,
no Daredevil, like, oh my God, all the Daredevil.
Yeah. He's nowhere to be like, oh, he's like in all of this fucking shit. He's in an 18 episode show.
What I'm saying is that hashtag works, man. They hashtag brought back Daredevil.
Jesus, 18 episodes. What a God, weird. We'll get to it. What a quirky little detail. What
if we find out 2 or 3 years from now that Charlie Cox had bought lots of bots? And has been tweeting threats at Kevin Feige. Vincent D'Onofrio has just been turning up outside Feige's house in a white
slamming
suit.
Slamming his head in the car door, yeah.
Okay. So let's get into it then. We are, of course, mid phase four at the moment, with the most recent release being Thor Love and Thunder, which within the next week you'll be able to hear our Patreon episode reacting to that. Reese is desperate to share his thoughts with you.
Excuse me?
We've banned him. He can't say anything. No opinions to be shared. And yeah, we're all going to be talking Thor, Love and Thunder over on the Patreon in the next within the next week. But the next thing, the project that we got a new trailer for was She-Hulk, Attorney at Law. So this is a series that's debuting in August this year. We got another trailer, and James, I'm going to come to you first because I think you are the most excited of us all about She-Hulk, and you might as well do a little Patreon plug for your She-Hulk content at the same time.
Yeah, because on Patreon I'm doing a close read of Sensational She-Hulk, which is the 60-episode comic series that turned her from a sort of boring Hulk clone into her own sort of more comedy-focused character. So I'm having a look at that. That entire series from the 80s and early 90s and all its ups and downs, and with some focus on how it feeds into this TV show.
And the vibe from this new trailer, James, is we can get to the CG in a minute, which looks like it's more of the same. But the trailer kind of gives us a Bruce Banner is training Jennifer Walter. We still don't know how she got her powers, but she's Bruce Banner's cousin. He's training her in the ways of the Hulk. Meanwhile, at work, she has been where she's an attorney. She's been brought onto a project to start defending supervillains, including Tim Roth's Abomination, and then something happens in a courtroom with Jamila Jamil's Titania, and then I'm not quite sure where we go from there, but that was a little bit more information in this trailer, and it looks like she is interacting with some kookier corners of the MCU as well. Wong comes in, and there are some new superhero-y
what
characters.
What contract do they have on Wong? When I saw him, I was like, in this as well? Wow, okay. I guess he met the Abomination. He fought the Abomination once, so he's going to be in the friggin' show. Like, oh, all right.
Yeah. I mean, that in a way was its own trailer for this, right?
Yeah, that was as close as we've got, I guess.
Yeah.
But James, you're still pretty bought in.
Yeah, I mean, if anything, I'm even more happy with it this time around. Like, I'm not as bothered by everyone else as with the bad CG. Like, I recognize that it's a bit ropey, but I just think the vibe of everything I've seen so far is so perfect for the character and for the stories that I want from the character that, you know, if slightly ropey effects is what I have to deal with, I dealt with that every week on stuff like Buffy, so I don't really care.
Sure. I thought this trailer was less janky than the first one. I guess the thing that I am still iffy on, James, and the proof will be in the pudding here, but I think obviously if they are, you know, if like it keeps getting Ally McBeal comparisons, and if what it's going after is, you know, like more lighthearted comedic in tone, then I still think it's TBC whether it is actually going to be funny, because there's some stuff in this trailer that feels like maybe it'll be funny in
context.
In context, but I'm not sure that this is a funny trailer.
Yeah, I've had a recent experience with a film that I've seen recently where the humour was not quite what I wanted it to be.
Oh my god!
A recent screen that I saw. And I listen, watch a lot of films. So yeah, I think a comedy, if the genre is comedy and the jokes are poor, that will be a problem. But yeah, I'm with you. It's a little, you know, the tone of this is still hard to pin down. And I also, you know, I wonder whether, again, going back to that, you know, you're taking a tool away from Tatiana Maslany, who definitely was funny when she was in Orphan Black. And I've listened to her on like episodes of Comedy Bang Bang and stuff. And she's got comedy chops. But I would do, you kind of worry that maybe when she's all greened up, she'll be a little bit less of a, you know, of an effective comedy performer. And so if they give her a lot of comedy stuff to do when she's green, I hope they can nail that.
Be also interesting to see what the balance is there, like how much is she going to be hulked out in the show versus not. But I would say I am slightly more optimistic about this show than I was after the first trailer, but none of my concerns have been eradicated, I would say. They're still there, they're just less prevalent.
Just quickly, there are two things about the show that make me slightly more optimistic than I've been about recent Marvel stuff, which is that there are only two directors doing the entire 9-episode series, and the fact that it's 9 episodes makes me think they might be shorter, like maybe they're going for a sort of half-hour sitcom format, maybe.
All right, are the two directors Taika Waititi, by any chance?
No.
Cool.
Kat Coiro and Anu Valia.
Cool.
And even James, to be honest, like if they're like, you know, the old 42-minute format, like that would be
that would be fine too.
That would be kind of fine, just not like bloated hours, 70 minutes of stuff.
But like, and, can we quickly talk about the cameo at the end?
Let's talk about that. I nearly clicked off it before the cameo.
I've got a theory that that's not Daredevil, actually.
Oh shit, who do you think it is?
Is it D-Man?
That's what I was gonna say. I think it might be D-Man, because here's my reasoning, right?
Wait, you're gonna wait before you give your reasoning, explain who and what D-Man is.
Well,
he's
D-Man.
He's obviously D-Man, Joe.
he's the man, yeah. Demolition Man, it's short for.
Yes.
As a joke.
Wesley Snipes is back.
He is a character who, he's like a fan of superheroes. So he dresses like Daredevil in a Wolverine mask, but he's kind of a sort of loser, down and out, like a homeless guy who happens to have superpowers.
Right, so I go back
the,
to...
So the reason...
Go on.
The reason I think that's D-Man and not Daredevil is because when he somersaults into frame, it kind of looks like he's got yellow arms, like he's wearing the old red and yellow Daredevil costume, which is what D-Man's costume is based on, Daredevil's original costume. So he has the, like, bizarre red and yellow look.
But that's not Daredevil's original costume in the MCU.
No, but that would also explain why we don't see Daredevil's face in this cameo, right? Because it's not Daredevil.
Because they're busy giving Charlie Cox hair plugs. That's my theory. They need to get some of that growth back in the front.
Yeah. Plant my flag here. That's Daredevil. I go back to the... We're having the absolutely insane argument with Reese about whether Professor X was going to be in Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. You don't tease something in a trailer that would get people excited to reveal it in the episode that it is... not the thing they were excited about, and instead something random that they don't recognize.
You don't think people have been fucking hyped for D-Man, Joe? It's D-Man.
I don't. I think that's Daredevil in his proto MCU outfit, and I think that I doubt he's a major part of the series. But I think we probably, you know, see him in his alter ego form as well as Matt Murdock in the show, given that they're attorneys. Like, it would make a lot of sense, and they interact in the comics, right? And yeah, I think that's Daredevil, and I am 99% sure that it is.
Here's my take. This time it is Professor X. That's and he can walk. Twist.
Okay. let's keep moving through Phase 4. So obviously in October we've got the Werewolf by Night Halloween special.
Was that on the board? Screen?
I don't think it was.
No, they didn't put it up there.
Tina must be pissed.
Maybe it isn't.
Okay.
Maybe it isn't in continuity. Well, but that's still, you know, due to be released. And then the next big one, and the next one that we got a trailer for was Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. And I guess the The big takeaways in terms of content from the trailer are the confirmation that Namor is in this and is likely the villain or main antagonist. It seems like the in-universe explanation of why Chadwick Boseman's T'Challa no longer is around is that he's passed. And we also see Riri Williams in the trailer. And I guess the key thing that we don't find out is who is the Black Panther. There is a shot of someone in a Black Panther costume towards the end of the trailer, and
Professor X.
The internet has been forensically analysing those yams to try and find out who it is, but as yet unconfirmed. I thought it was really, really good, and I would like to hear what you guys thought about it.
This trailer. So I doubt you guys. This is true of you guys. I was up. I was working that day, and I work in a venue, so I got back at like 1:30 a.m. and then was like bummed out because I'd been at work since 9 a.m. that day. But then I was like, oh no, this is awesome. This is the time of the frigging Marvel shit. So I sort of read along with it live, and you know, you're excited for all of it and the Avengers announcements, and it's like I was in it. But you know, so it's 2 o'clock in the morning. That's when they did the Black Panther trailer last. I'd been up since 7 a.m. that day. I was exhausted. And I watched this trailer like 3 or 4 times, I think, I just thought it was amazing. You know, it was one of those. It was one of those quite rare. You know, we evaluate trailers on this show and in our personal lives because we're so cool. You know, all the time. but this, I just felt this was one of those trailers, and it's quite rare. And they don't come out. They don't come about that often. That just feels a step above. You know what these normally are, and it's all of it. Just the look of it, all the editing choices, the music choices, all the kind of reveals that you get, but the stuff that isn't there, you know, the sort of the teasing, the mystery. It reminded me weirdly of the first Force Awakens teaser in some ways. You know, just so kind of, for me, it just had me so intrigued and hooked. And I kind of think, you know, with all of the pressure, just from, you know, just the sequel to the first Black Panther movie, just that alone, the pressure was going to be extremely high for this. Then you had obviously the Chadwick Boseman piece. Then you've had the COVID and the sort of the production shutdowns, the Letitia Wright stuff, all of that. And you know, I felt like the pressure was just really high on this first trailer, and it was just amazing. And it was like as good as it needed to be, at least for me to get me really, 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 really so excited about this. I thought it was maybe the best trailer Marvel have ever cut.
I think it's a really difficult balance for them as well, that if that is the decision that they've made, which it appears like it is, that T'Challa has died in the MCU as well, then you've got to be really careful that it doesn't feel like you're exploiting his real life death. And you know, that's obviously a decision that the Fast and Furious franchise made, was the Paul Walker character drives off into the sunset rather than, and is referenced from time to time in the franchise as if he's still out there.
He's just around the corner in the frame. Vin's like, oh, just get Brian, he's just around the corner, he's in my family.
He's in the next room. Yeah.
Yeah. Come to fun right now.
But yeah, you've got to be delicate not to, if this is a decision you're making, that you're going to kill off the character in world, in universe as well, that it doesn't feel exploitative. And again, you know, we'll have to wait and see how the movie balances that, but I thought the trailer did a really nice job of, I think, evoking that tone of like respect for the actor, the character, and I think it helps that since the release of Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman really had kind of embraced that like mantle of I am this character, and I want to, you know, I want to stand for what he stands for, and vice versa, and yeah, it felt respectful. And again, I thought that like the tease at the end of like who's the next Black Panther, that could feel crass as well. And I don't know, for whatever reason, I really didn't feel like it did in this. It felt like it was respectful towards him, despite, you know, the trailer that, like, you see a mural of him once, and that's kind of like the only mention.
I mean, I was going to say, I think the way the whole trailer is put together is designed to evoke respect and grief for what has been lost in a way that feels genuine rather than, you know, like you say, sort of crassly commercial. They're not making a big deal out of, oh, there's going to be a new guy and, like, look at how much everyone loved the last guy. Like, it really strikes the correct balance between, we all know what has gone on and we all feel the same way about it, but also, you know, the story will continue with these other characters and actors, and, you know, those people are all going through the same thing that the audience is going through. So I think they did well to do it so respectfully.
It's also so curious to think what this, because it seems like the story is, I think the story is going to be, look at this nation, you know, that's lost its leader and its hero, you know, it's at this, you know, sort of moment of struggle. And it's at this point that this sort of, you know, forgotten villain rises from the deep with probably some connection to Wakanda, etc. I just, yeah, but you kind of wonder what this would have been if Boseman, you know, hadn't passed away. You know, I wonder if, would it have been a Namor story? I guess probably, but it feels like there's a story there that has Black Panther's demise as part, just sort of core in the premise. Again, this is a teaser, so I'm really elaborating, but yeah, I wonder. It doesn't feel like a movie where they had draft three of one script with Boseman in it, and then, you know, and then Coogler had fucking 2 months to rewrite before production started. Which, yeah, I mean, the timeline is a bit squished on what actually happened there, but it doesn't. It feels like, oh, this is what the story has to be. And all the Namor shit looks cool.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's sort of a, you know, it's an interesting sign that he's a. I'm not familiar with the actor's work of any kind. And Namor is a really commanding presence in the comics, and so you'd hope that, you know, this guy auditioned well, and we could be looking at a, you know, and that's, they've done that many times. You know, the MCU has done that very often, that some, you know, the big, lots, yeah, of big heroes have sort of, you know, has been their first big role, and
well, and
you
then
can see
and
that
then
for this guy as well,
particularly in with Coogler and Black Panther. I think Black Panther is the, you know, is still the you know, the
best cast.
The best and the deepest cast.
Yeah.
And that's why I think, you know, they're also able to have this element of mystery over who is the person assuming the Black Panther mantle, because there are so many possible outcomes. And I think a lot of people are assuming Shuri, and that would make a lot of sense. Do you guys have any theories? I've got a little theory about who it might be.
I mean, for me, the character in the trailer looks visibly male, but my suspicion is that if that is true, it's going to be Shuri initially pretending to be a male Black Panther, and then later, you know, taking over as the female Black Panther. I think that's probably the way they'll go with it.
Reese?
I can't think of any other male character in the franchise who would fit the role.
Know, I wouldn't be shocked if we see Angela Bassett in the suit in the movie, you know, because she references herself as queen. She makes that podium speech. Like, perhaps she actually, you know, we don't fully know the kind of Wakandan, succession rules, but I wouldn't be shocked if she becomes the leader, and therefore, I'm not saying that's how the movie ends, but, you know, you could see that. You could also see the movie ending, and, you know, no, Joe, that's not really what you're asking. You're asking, like, who maybe is doing the fighting in the movie, but I could see the movie ending with there not being a Black Panther, there being, you know, it's a shared mantle, or it's a new word, and, you know, I could see that, rather than, again, just sort of having a new character have that name.
That's my theory, it will be played as a mystery, and maybe Black Panther is turning up at different points during the movie and you're not sure who it is, and you kind of find out as it goes that it's been lots of taken on the mantle at various different points.
It'd be great if it was Martin Freeman.
Yeah, don't be it's Martin Freeman.
Holy shit. Everett Ross is Black Panther.
You know, I do think, you know, the way that they've established the people in Wakanda, that you could have, you know, it being Shuri and Ramonda and Nakia and Okoye and M'Baku, and they've all at various different stages put on the suit. And actually, one of the shots of M'Baku does look like he is wearing a Black Pantherish suit.
Yeah, I noticed that. It looked like he's got the necklace on, doesn't it? Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So,
yeah.
And for me, that because I'm also trying to say, like, that this isn't based on any kind of like investigative stuff in the trailer. It's just based on like what would feel right coming out of this, and I kind of feel like.
Mm.
Whereas I think like worst case scenario would be, well, we're in the multiverse saga, so here arises someone from the multiverse, alt universe, Killmonger.
Well, Michael B. Jordan. You know, that's Killmonger as a, you know, well, they did it in What If, right?
Yeah,
and did you say that? Sorry.
Yeah, well, I'm saying like that feels like one of the for me that would be like the worst case scenario, I think.
We'll get to this.
A multiverse Michael B. Jordan would be a bad choice. I think if they somehow said, oh, actually, he didn't die and he is the new Killmonger, is the new Black Panther, I'd probably be okay with that. Just because Michael Jordan's so good. But
Michael Jordan. I mean, he could be
yeah, the basketball. Yeah.
He's the greatest of all time.
He's the Black Goat.
Tell you who it's not going to be. That's Daniel Kaluuya.
No, who's not in the movie.
Although Michaela Cole is.
Oh, that's a good shot of her in that. I mean, she could be cool. She could be a fun Black Panther. Whatever that means. I don't even know what that sentence means. X could be a fun Black Panther. I mean, that's just a nothing sentence that I take back. I actually rescind that and I'm going to put it in the bin. It's in the bin.
Anyway, good trailer. I'm good intrigued.
Do you guys think, one more question about the trailer. Do you guys think that Namor, you know, because in the comics he's been like, just, you know, truly full villain, but also full hero. I just wonder, maybe this is more of a James question or what he'd like to see. I kind of wonder where we end this movie with Namor. I think
you always introduce Namor as a villain. I think he's going to end the movie in like a sort of respectful place of like, you know, having respect for Wakanda and his foes, would be like, but the rest of the surface world is going to watch out.
What I've always liked when I've encountered Namor in the comics is,
you've got to be careful when you encounter him, Joe, in Nottingham. You just got to walk the other way. Okay, turn around, get out of there.
whichever side he's on, I just villainous or heroic. Yeah, that he's just a prick.
He's just an ass.
And like. I just hope that's the vibe, that like he's antagonist in this because he's pissed off about something, and he's been a prick about it, and maybe the next time like he's like, oh, all right, okay, I'm gonna help out now, but also I'm still gonna be a prick about it.
Honestly, what I'm hoping is that he turns up next in the Fantastic Four movie to hit on Sue Richards.
We'll get to it, James. We'll get to Fantastic Four.
Yeah, never heard of that. I'm not on Phase 4 right now. Okay, Phase 4 will also, well, I guess, I think this is in Phase 4 is the Guardians of the Galaxy TV special, but who knows whether that is in continuity or not. But yeah, there's the Guardian special coming out in December. Okay, so on to Phase 5. And there was an Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania panel with Peyton Reed. So no footage to talk about here. So what I'm just going to do is read some of the write-up from the panel. So Phase 5 launches with the introduction of Kang the Conqueror, who meets Scott Lang in the Quantum Realm after Scott is mysteriously sucked there along with his daughter Cassie, Hope, Hank, and Janet. In footage screened in All H, Bill Murray has a cameo as an old friend of Janet's from within the Quantum Realm. And Peyton Reed also confirmed to the crowd that MODOK would be appearing in the film. Now, guys, obviously, spoilers for later, but as predicted by Joe Cunningham on this podcast fairly recently, Kang is going to be a pretty major part of the shape.
You can't be sure with that.
Of the shape.
No, no, they can't be certain about that.
Feel pretty sure about
know.
It. So,
you know, a dynasty. There's a big dynasty. Could be anybody. Could be anybody.
It could be one of many Kangs. But Kang is going to be a big part of the multiverse saga, so his involvement here feels like a big deal. Was there anything else that jumped out to you in terms of what was announced about Quantumania? And what are your thoughts on how they're going to balance the introduction of Kang with the tone of the Ant-Man movies, which, to be fair, like, you know, previous villains have not been on the level of Kang.
You're forgetting Ghost, I think. Ghost was, you know. Maybe it's in the Thunderbolts, I read? I don't know.
I don't think I'm forgetting Ghost.
I think that it's going to be a less comedic movie than the previous ones.
Nah, disagree.
I think...
Even with MODOK in it.
MODOK will be the main villain, and Kang will be like Thanos was pre-Infinity War. That's what I think.
I think it's weird that everyone treats MODOK as a comedy character because, like...
Yeah, the K stands for killing. This motherfucker is
He's not, like... He's treated as a joke because of Toy Fair and Wizard Magazine. Like, prior
and
to that...
Chicken.
And Robot Chicken, yeah. Prior to that, like, Kang... MODOK was, like, sort of this, like, evil... Probably evil genius with, like, a sort of body horror element. Like, you wouldn't want to fight MODOK, and then, you know, there's this
James
series where he's
James.
Where he's
James. Have gone. You seen him though?
That's the thing. Like, it didn't used to be funny. It used to be scary.
Yeah, when you were a kid, when you were a little kid.
No, when they came up with him, when he was on the level, like, the problem is it's a Kirby design, right? And people just can't adapt Kirby designs.
If I search for MODOK on Google Images and scroll down as far as I can, just keeping going, there's lots
you
of
just laugh your whole butt
lots
off, right?
of different versions of him, and yeah, none of them are scary. Even the original one, it's just, he's a big old squished head in a thing. Like, he just looks insane.
But also, James, to your first point, I think the Marvel, Thor aside, I would say, right? I think the Marvel lot are good, you know, especially, well, actually, no, I'll take all that back. The Ant-Man movies are more, the first two are just a more comedic end of the genres that they're playing with.
Yeah, that's
just
true.
Think, I'd be shocked if they, that feels like a mistake to really push against that. I think this will have the same kind of tone. Obviously, yes, the Kang stuff, they'll need to, you know, I don't know what they think of, you know, I don't know what the general audience perception of Jonathan Majors' scene in the Loki season finale is, but I thought it was sort of silly and stupid, but, you know, who knows. But I do kind of feel like, especially if, you know, he's starting this dynasty and he's getting in this war that's rather secret, whether they'll just need to make an impact with that character and the threat and all that sort of stuff. So how that fits, I'm not sure. But I don't think the movie as a whole will be more serious, especially because you're going to have a load of, like, kind of wacky quantum realm shit, right? A bit of, you know, fucking Bill Murray's in it. If anything, this movie could be more comedic, you know? Bill Murray's going to, you know, turn up and give you the quick change performance. He's going to come and give you, you know, Zombieland stuff, I would have thought.
Yeah, if he gives you anything at war, it's Bill Murray.
I still think I think the general tone of the movie will be comedic, even if like this is full badass Kang. It might the comedy might come from how ill equipped Scott Lang is to face him, or just like completely underestimating him as a villain when the audience knows a lot better. I still think it will be comedic, and I think that they will introduce a fully formed, terrifying Kang.
Do you think that...
like, almost entirely disconnected from his performance in Loki.
Do you think that's Ant-Man could be offed by Kang at the end of this? Yeah, that would definitely set him up as a threat, and Paul Rudd has done a fair few of these.
I
don't think Paul Rudd's in a in a particular hurry to get out of these movies.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to kill him. He's just filmed all that footage for the Disney cruise. I'm not even kidding. that's why no, I don't think they're going to kill him. No, I don't think it will be. I that's what I mean about it being. He could kill Michael Douglas.
Yeah, that's more likely.
That feels more like it has more potential. What are they going to do with MODOK there, guys? Who's going to play MODOK?
Probably Patton Oswalt again. Fully CG with Patton Oswalt's voice.
Okay.
No, because the problem is the best actor who's ever lived to play MODOK has passed away, and that's Philip Seymour Hoffman. So I just don't know who you... Oh, you could get Cooper Hoffman, his son. There you go, done.
There we go. So, yeah, right, okay.
Sorted.
Okay, so Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, kicks off Phase 5 in February 2023. And then our first Disney Plus outing in Phase 5 is Secret Invasion, which is it's still just dated for spring 2023. Kobe Smulders turned up to do a little bit of a tease for this in All H, apparently. The show, I think, as we already knew for most of this, stars Samuel L. Jackson, Ben Mendelsohn, Don Cheadle, James.
Yeah.
Martin
but he's so busy making Armor Wars that's coming out, definitely. So how has he found the time to
get
to the Secret Invasion?
Yeah, we'll get to that. maybe that's been folded in. James, Armor Wars was absent from the...
They have since said that it's still on the slate. I think the showrunner said, no, we're still making it.
We're still making it. We just don't have it. We're not considered important enough to be on this board.
someone did tweet us and say probably they didn't want to undercut the announcement of Cheadle being in Secret Invasion by announcing that he had his own show as well.
I'm just crossing my fingers that the television show
Echo. Did they?
I'm just hoping that Echo is actually Armor Wars. That would be good. That would sort of solve for me two problems. Problem one, Echo is happening. Problem two, Armor Wars is on its way.
Yes.
That's good. That would be good.
So they're obviously people that we see. We know Nick Fury, Maria Hill, Rhodey, Everett K. Ross, and then new characters joining. So we've got Kingsley Benadire, who apparently in a bit of footage that played in the hall was seen multiplying into several identical forms. Is that Super Skrull shit, or could that be X-Men shit? Could you be doing...
There's only two people who do that, Madrox and the Collective Men, who is Chinese.
And Morph. Little guy Morph.
Can't do that? What are you talking about?
Didn't he ever do that? Turn into... Okay, right. Okay.
When you say turning into multiple people, do you mean like splitting into multiple versions of himself or changing?
I mean the clay guy.
Oh, God.
Oh, right. I thought you meant Morph the X-Men.
Multiverse saga. Morph could be in there. Right. Morph could be in there.
I'm carrying on. Also, Olivia Colman and Emilia Clarke. So, yeah, they showed some footage in the hall for this. I did take note of this. There was a very funny tweet from on the Marvel Studios Twitters announcing the cast, and then like in brackets at the end saying not starring Regé Jean Page, who was previously incorrectly announced as part of this show. Like, oh,
burn.
What's gone on there? Either someone has got him confused racistly with Kingsley Benadire and has been fired subsequently, or he was cast in the show and then recast, or he filmed something and was then cut from it, or he's doing something in the MCU but not in this. I don't know. Weird, right? It feels like
he is in it, and they just say that.
But that would be surprised. A weird thing to do, wouldn't it? To be like this actor who you don't know what character they're playing. They're in this. Oh no, they're not. Oh, they were actually.
It would be if the Marvel Studios Twitter feed was just for people that aren't in the Marvel things, it would be exhausting. Yeah. Although, I mean, there's a lot of people in Marvel shit.
I was going to say, it'd be quite short, actually.
Yes. Brad Pitt is not in Deadpool 3. Okay.
Okay. Well, so that's Secret Invasion due out spring 23. So we've got, let me just have a look. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things between now and then to decide who's a Skrull. Before we get to Secret Invasion and that stops being fun.
I've got, and I've been a bit silly so far in this episode, but I've got a serious point to make. Reese's serious point. I'm surprised if you look at the whole phase 5 and 6, how little sort of space stuff there is in it. I don't know what you guys think about that. You know, obviously you've got Guardians, and you've got Secret Invasion, and of course, you know, Kang is a sort of an everywhere guy. But I just, it's curious to me that you're missing.
You've got Loki season 2, you've got the Marvels.
Yeah, I think
Nova is announced, but not on the slate yet. So I think there's stuff coming. I think they want to get Guardians 3 out of the way first.
Hmm. I also just wonder whether they will, you know, the Infinity Saga, I was going to call it Saga 1, the Infinity Saga, you know, kind of built to cosmic proportions, you know, and they kind of went further out into space away from Earth, and perhaps this saga, rather than just do that again, the multiverse piece will kind of do that for them, but it won't, but, you know, rather than go out into the universe, it'll go laterally to Earth, and that's how it will feel different. Because I do think, and we'll get to it, but, you know, I do think they're going to have to, the trick will be in making this feel different enough to the Thanos stuff to get people excited. And I just wonder whether that also explains the lack of some of this, but some space stuff.
I think you're probably right that they will be bringing the fight to Earth in this one a little bit more. But also, that said, Fantastic Four, like, literally get their powers from space. So who knows?
Yeah, and we've already had Eternals, which was very spacey, and Thor,
yeah, but no.
Thor Love and Thunder, which we've got no idea what anyone thinks about that. there is some space in there, and, you know, that we should now talk about Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, which is the next after Secret Invasion, Reese. So there's some spacey stuff in there. And, you know, we were talking about cast members who, you know, we're talking about who's not in the movie. The Guardians cast all came out. Chris Pratt, Karen Gillan, Pom Clementeef, Sean Gunn, Will Poulter, Maria Bakalova. No Zoe Saldana, who's not in this movie, obviously, and will not be. She went. It's the last Guardians of the Galaxy movie. It's drawing things to a close for this team. I can't imagine she will show up there in any form, and I'm sure she was glad the weekend off.
They talked about her. She leads the Ravagers. That's you know that, right?
How weird not to bring her out.
She's underwater. James Cameron's like got her head in a freaking bathtub. She can't get out.
No, that her head hasn't been in a bathtub for 8 years. That's how long he's been doing all the post production and all of that.
Yeah. Sorry, what was it like filming Avatar 2? I have no memory of doing that. I can't. I was underwater, but he had my head in a tub. It was 10 years ago.
So the stuff that they did announce on stage was that apparently Maria Bakalova is playing Cosmo the Space Dog.
Wonderful. Oscar-nominated performance, breakout hit.
Yeah.
Maria Bakalova, Borat. You're in the Marvel Universe. Oh, my God, amazing, cool. Who am I going to be? You're the voice of a dog character.
Yeah.
Okay, fuck you all.
Yeah, that bummed me out. And apparently there is going to be stuff in here, like flashback stuff to young Rocket, baby Rocket, and how he became Rocket Raccoon, which... I'm not sure if we need that, but
baby Groot works for everyone. So
yes,
more baby characters. That's what they need. Baby Star Lord.
And then Chukwudi Iwuji, who I hopefully got somewhere near the correct pronunciation of that name, who had appeared in in the James Gunn related Peacemaker TV show, will be playing the High Evolutionary in the show, and there was an implication that in the movie, and there was an implication that he had some connection to Rocket's origins. So, who's the High Evolutionary, guys?
He is. He's a scientist from.
Who smokes too much weed. I take rescind in the bin. Sorry, that's gone in the bin. Sorry.
He is a scientist from Earth called Herbert Wyndham, who has a little secret village in Wondergo Mountain where he creates like hybrid human animal people.
Oh, okay.
And he, in some, you know, depending on what you believe about the Scarlet Witch and Quicksilver's current origins, in the comics, he was arguably responsible for them getting powers, or at least they were raised in Wondergo.
I guess they won't do that stuff.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm excited. A weird scientist who created Rocket.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think that's likely.
No, I think all the stuff that they announced for the, you know, I feel like I read like one of the, and this was on the night, so it might have been like a mistype, but one of the pieces referenced Will Poulter's Adam Warlock as the villain, which is interesting. You could almost see like, you know, is this a kind of a high evolutionary manipulating Adam Warlock, and he's the, you know, he plays the antagonist for the movie, and then, you know, by the end is their friend. I could see that.
But wait, we know why he's the villain, because it was set up in the post credits of the last movie.
But is Dubicki confirmed for this as well?
No, but I don't mean that matters. It was just like
yeah,
I'm birthing Adam and I'm doing it
with
the express intent of getting revenge on the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
So my expectation was definitely he was the antagonist of this movie. But again, I would kind of expect him to walk away from the movie as, you know, a character out there in the cosmos ready to show up again at some point in the future.
Yeah. I'm excited for this one. I saw a film fairly recently with like a fair few number of these performers in it that I had some mixed feelings about. So I'm kind of excited for this, you know, contrasting that. In fact, quite a fair few of the main characters, you know, a lot of them. So that's interesting.
All right. Yeah, well, we'll move swiftly on to that's out in May next year, by the way. And then a couple of Disney Plus TV shows that are due out in the summer of 2023. I'm sure that this is going to be integral to the Multiverse Saga. It's a show called Echo.
Oh, boy.
The only thing that was really revealed about this show was that it would be debuting in summer 2023, and apart from that, it was all the stuff we knew before about the announced cast members. I don't think they said anything specifically about Charlie Cox and Vincent D'Onofrio popping up in it, but obviously that's been reported already. So let's not bully Echo anymore. Let's instead move on to Loki Season 2, which is also debuting in summer 2023. Another Disney Plus show. Again, they didn't really get into this, but it's filming now, and again, as we talked about, me being proved right about the importance of Kang in the in the Multiverse Saga, this feels like it is going to be an important show, and hopefully, now that we are past kind of like pandemic reshuffles of the projects, that maybe the second series of Loki could kind of like interact with the rest of the multiverse stuff in a coherent way, rather than the kind of seemingly
skirting around it. Yeah.
Well, disconnected. Well, it more like the way that the movies handled the fallout from, you know, the way the movies handled the fallout from Loki, which was basically to go, oh, did Loki create the multiverse? Not important. It actually happened these other ways instead. So
it's interesting how, I mean, we'll see, right? But how perhaps integral, you know, really pivotal to both of these sagas, Tom Hiddleston might end up being. He's you know, he might be the one that, you know, whereas a lot of these sort of first saga Avengers were moved to, you know, slightly more supporting and like, you know, elder statesman roles. Maybe weirdly it's Hiddleston that's like, no, I'm in the fucking thick of this shit. And I'm like initiating I'm initiating these sagas. And yeah, you know, I find his career choices, you know, with the Marvel stuff and elsewhere, kind of curious, because he must have, I don't know whether he had like the gut, he had the gut feeling a few years ago of like, I'm not going to make it as a real movie star, so I'm actually better off just cracking on with this stuff. I don't know.
I mean, for me, awesome. The thing is, like, his wife, his now wife, is the villain in the Marvels, so it feels to me like he's sort of deep in the whole Marvel family in a very literal way. Like, he's like, yeah, sure, keep giving my wife work, keep giving me work, we're enjoying it a lot, thanks.
He just likes going to the holiday parties. He's like, yeah,
I know. Who's he married to?
Zoe Ashton.
Ah, cool.
Yeah, congratulations to the happy couple.
Congratulations, guys, congratulations.
And then, and their future very attractive children. not really mentioned at the panel, but kind of just to put it into place in the context of the rest of the stuff, the Marvels is due out in July 23, so around the same time as after Guardians, around the same time as Echo and Loki, and that's all of the summer stuff next year. And then we move on to fall, which is what the Americans call autumn.
Because the leaves fall. You get it, guys. Because the leaves fall. Mad. Absolutely mad. Those Americans are crazy.
This perfect release date, November the 3rd, 2023 for Blade, which is exactly when you want to watch a Blade movie, right? Just after Halloween. Mm-hmm.
I can tell you when I want to watch a Blade movie.
Oh, James.
Oh, go on. Is it 2003?
No, it's never.
2000 and never.
Oh, shit! Still,
so the lack of respect that you and Seb showed for the Blade franchise on this podcast was outrageous.
He's the Daywalker, James. He walks in the day. How can
unlike most vampires. That's like being a werewolf that doesn't change at the full moon.
I think
a werewolf by night.
Werewolf by day.
That first Blade movie is legit good. The second one is a bit over the top, but has some good stuff in it. And Wesley Snipes is good. It has good support. Like I think we've been disrespectful to Blade. And aren't you a little bit interested in this side of it, like exploring a new corner of the MCU into more into the fantastical?
If I had to pick my least favorite corner of the Marvel Universe, it is the corner of the Marvel Universe that deals with vampires. Like, there was an X-Men story that I think it was like 12 or 13 episodes where they got involved with vampires. They turned Jubilee into a vampire. It takes a lot to make me totally disinterested in X-Men. But that whole storyline really did it for me. And it was one of the happiest days of my life, up there with my child being born, they finally untransformed Jubilee into a vampire.
You got fixed your priorities straight. That's what I like about that story.
I was so happy when they did that. Accurate. I like Ghost Rider. But
you also beat there we go. This is your gateway drug. Like, if Blade works, then, you know, we'll have... When they going to make a... Didn't they at some point say they were going to make a Black Knight Disney Plus show, or did I imagine that?
Yeah, then Eternals came out, and they were like, Eternals...
Sorry, Black Knight who? Yeah.
Listen.
So they did the Doctor Strange Illuminati line, right? The Eternal Waddy? Oh, God. That's Feige. You ask him now.
Listen, he's a Blade. He's whispering to Kit Harington. He's going to have the ebony blade. He's he's played by Mahershala Ali, James.
That's the only thing about the entire project that makes me go, okay, that might be interesting.
They're going to try and get Wesley Snipes for a cameo, aren't they?
I don't care.
Multiverse shit, man. Multiverse saga.
Yeah,
right?
Wesley Snipes will be in there in some variety. That'll be cool. And then, yeah, this is your gateway to,
domain character Dracula appearing as a villain. Is that what we want?
No, what I want.
Yeah, and
because that's what's going to happen.
Winnie the Pooh as well, and Sherlock Holmes. Get all the public domain.
Listen, what I want is I feel like I've been teased with this for so long. So I want some fucking Mephisto. Give me some Mephisto. Mm. Give me.
Right. Sorry.
That's not really Blade stuff, though.
Why is Blade cuts off people's heads?
No, listen, and
throws garlic bombs
no,
at them. He's not going to fight Mephisto.
This is not in the Blade movie, but this is our gateway drug to that kind of stuff in the MCU and bringing Ghost Rider back and introducing Nicolas Cage in the MCU in a Ghost Riders movie, right? And we start to do all of that kind of fun stuff. Werewolf by Night comes into it. It's going to be great, James. Stop slinging off.
Do you remember back in the day when they announced Inhumans and I went, that's going to be shit. And then they announced Eternals and I went, that's going to be shit. Was I right?
No, Eternals is...
Eternals was excellent.
I was correct.
I mean, I've never watched Inhumans, so I can't confirm.
But
you are not right about Eternals.
I am right about Eternals, and I'm going to be right about Blade.
Eternals is one of the better movies in Phase 4 so far.
Yeah, but that still marks it out as being shit.
I saw a film recently that really made me think that the Eternals reaction was absolutely wild, and the Eternals Rotten Tomato meter is insanity. A recent film I saw. I can't. Who can recall? Who can recall? I'm going to say one more thing on Blade. We move on. you genuinely could see a scenario where Mahershala Ali, who is probably a wonderful actor, and also an actor with such like kind of gravity and authority, that genuinely forgetting the whole like vampire hunter blah blah blah, but he could actually sort of play a quite important role in the Avengers shit in a couple of years. I could see that, like, just an actor of his caliber and his gravity. We've got these gaps in. We've got a Chris Evans gap. We've got a Downey Jr. gap. I really could see Mahershala Ali just as a performer, sort of filling that gap. Because if you think about a lot of the characters we've introduced in the last couple of years, they're young. They're sort of, you've got a Shang-Chi. You've got Black Widow, which is a prequel. A lot of younger characters. I just wonder whether there's some sort of top of the tree performers missing. Leader characters.
And again, if we're talking about like different corners of the MCU and all of these different teams being assembled, which it still does feel like that's the direction we're moving in, even if we haven't had a Young Avengers movie announced. I do think, but like by the time you get to spoiler alert for probably 2 hours from now in this podcast, Secret Wars. by the time you get there, like. Yeah, wouldn't you want like a team that's led by Mahershala Ali's Blade, like the Dark Avengers?
I mean, are you asking me if I want that? Because the answer is no.
Okay, let's move on.
What's the magic team called though, James, in the comics generally? What's that sort of? They do have a name, don't they? Midnight Children or something.
Midnight Suns, you're thinking of, yeah.
Midnight Suns, yeah, cool. Yeah, sign me up. I want to be in the Midnight Suns.
Morbius and Blade teaming up as the Midnight Suns.
Oh. It's not Midnight.
You're right, that's going to be great. Okay.
Now we're there. back over to Disney Plus for the next project on the timeline in fall 23 is Ironheart. So again, we didn't learn much more about this. Obviously, we saw Dominique Thorne's Riri Williams in the Black Panther trailer. She gets her own Disney Plus series. It's going to be written by Shanaka Hodge, who worked on Snowpiercer, and directed by Sam Bailey of Dear White People, and Angela Barnes, who worked on Blindspotting. Still fairly mysterious. I guess we'll have a better idea of what the tone of that might be once we've seen Black Panther and met the character, but hopefully given her Black Panther links, then there might be some Black Panther characters cameoing in that or turning up in the supporting cast.
My only comment on this was that I remember when they announced all the Disney Plus shows, and I'm pretty sure or maybe it was phase two of the shows, but Armor Wars and Ironheart I feel like got announced at the same time.
They felt connected.
Riri Williams was going to kind of be in the Armor Wars show and then that will spin out of that because now she has a suit of her own. So, interestingly, that seems like it would be surprising then if Armor Wars premiered pre-Ironheart. So, to your point, Joe, maybe she does live closer to the Black Panther side of the MCU than the Iron Man side of the MCU.
Well, and the logo that they they release for this doesn't feel like it has strong Iron Man vibes. I'd imagine she is going to be designing some kind of Iron Man-esque suit of armor. But maybe they are, yeah, maybe they're going to be going closer to the Black Panther tech and leaning on that more rather than, yeah. Because, yeah, it would have made sense you introduce her in this series and then within 6 months there is an Armor Wars TV series. But, you know, if this is coming out late next year and we've started and we've basically got the slate full up to the end of 2024, an Armor Wars series isn't debuting before 2025, you wouldn't think now. So, James, do you truly believe that show's still coming? Because it feels very odd that they have removed it from the schedule.
Just because they, you know, the showrunner or whatever went and tweeted, like, don't worry, it's still coming. And there's other stuff that isn't, that we know is coming that isn't on the slate. So,
no, but not that was announced. There's other stuff that has been, like, reported in the trades. But, you know, they announced that they were doing an Armor Wars show, like, 18 months ago, didn't they?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's not been that long since we could have asked the same question about Secret Wars, right? About Secret Invasion, right?
Secret Invasion's never been removed from anything and never disappeared and and went into production.
Armor Wars hasn't been removed from anything, though, right?
Yeah, it's not on this. It wasn't on this slate of announced.
Yeah, but neither was the Guardians Holiday Special.
That's fair. He's got you dead to rights.
Okay, so by that token,
we
should expect to see Armor Wars as a one episode novelty one off at some point in 2024, 2025.
If they're saying it's happening, we have to assume it's happening, right?
A writer who's working on the show is saying, I'm still working on it.
Can I just make I don't know if it's a conspiracy theory in Armor Wars is cancelled, in the Armor Wars is cancelled column, but here's the comment. One wonders whether Armor Wars is an idea, at least as it is in the comics, which is so kind of, it's all about Tony Stark's legacy, and even though Armor Wars features him in it. But you do wonder, you know, it feels like the MCU pace has sped up since the show started. And it feels a long time ago now that Endgame came out. And obviously COVID's part of that and Stark died. I do wonder whether a show that's all about his legacy is already feels a bit old news if it came out tomorrow, right? And yet we're talking about 2025. Maybe there's a retooling there that has to take place because you can't do that story anymore. If that was ever the story, was the story, maybe you have to retool.
And then again, if you're talking about 2025, you're talking about the only other stuff that's been announced there are the big Avengers tentpoles.
Which Cheadle is going to be in, right?
Yeah, like probably, yeah.
We're definitely going to see War Machine in those movies, so maybe they're planning to release it around that time. Like,
or he's about to get killed off in Secret Invasion.
I mean, that had crossed my mind. In all honesty, I did think, maybe he's going to die in Secret Invasion, and that's like the feint, is that actually War Machine is a War Machine, or maybe, you know, he's a surprise death to try and make us think, oh, these shows are happening. But then if they were going to do that, maybe they would announce Armor Wars? Like, who knows?
It just doesn't feel like an area of, like, obviously, apart from Ironheart, it doesn't feel like an area of the MCU that they have been investing in. The Emmy-nominated performance from Don Cheadle in Falcon and the Winter Soldier aside.
It's, in my opinion, well, and we'll get to it. And see, after Secret Wars, they will reset the universe and we'll have a new Iron Man, and they know that, and they are, so therefore, let's just hands off, and, you know, we can get back there in a few years. And so, therefore, if that's the conclusion they've come to, don't touch any of the Iron Man shit. You know, just wait and cast Taron Egerton as Iron Man in 3 years.
That's always Taron Egerton. Why?
Always a bit as everyone.
He's Wolverine. He's hot now. He's hot Iron Man. He's a hot guy. You know, that was in that play in London, Cock, that, you know, he did like three performances were like, nah, I'm done. He's you know, he's in stuff.
I don't think it's impossible that Armor Wars is cancelled, but at the moment, I just think there's no reason to assume it's not coming out because they said it is.
Yeah, agreed.
I don't think it's coming out. a project that Marvel weirdly announced and then put up on the big screen to confirm that it was coming was Agatha, Coven of Chaos.
Which just changed names?
Yes, it was originally going to be Agatha, House of Harkness.
House of Harkness.
And now it is Agatha, Coven of Chaos. So that's the big change there. Jack Schaefer is still writing and exec producing that show. Obviously, Catherine Hahn's going to star. Oh, spooky. Wonder whether she could be on the team with Blade.
No, but Joe's right, James. That is what's going to happen. Definitely.
Yeah, be great.
It's Black Knight, it's Blade, it's
I don't deny
Jack,
that that's a possibility.
Who else? Who else? Jack Russell.
Jack Russell, yeah.
The Ghost Riders, Nicolas Cage. It's Morbius, unfortunately.
Morbius' mate, what's his name?
Venom.
I'm going to put out that it's Namora as well. Namorita. What's her name? What's daughter?
There are two different characters called Namora and Namorita. I don't know which one you mean. They're both in it. Yeah,
both in it, and they have like magic. They have like
one's his cousin, one's his lover, I believe.
Well, don't get those confused. Am I right, guys?
Exactly. So there was a wild correction in a Guardian article where, like, I think it was someone who'd won a stage at the Tour de France thanked his girls, and the Guardian said he thanked both of his girlfriends, and afterwards had to say when he was referring to his girls, he was referring to his girlfriend and his daughter.
Amazing.
Okay, here's the big one. Here's literally 18 fucking episodes. Coming in spring 2024 is Daredevil Born Again. So
we have to talk about the episode count. What the hell? Somebody explain.
Let's just go quickly through what they've said. So you've got Matt Murdock. Charlie Cox coming back as Matt Murdock. He obviously cameoed in No Way Home. Kingpin cameoed in Hawkeye. They're both going to appear in Echo. It looks like
Charlie Cox is in the Spider-Man animated series.
He's in the Spider-Man cartoon. Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
It looks like he's going to be in She-Hulk, unless it's D-Man,
or Xavier.
And then, yeah, this is Daredevil Born Again, which feels like a very specific promise. And if anyone goes back and listens to our original Daredevil episodes when we were covering that show on the podcast, I said the words Born Again a lot of fucking times. So I'm really,
I mean, the thing is, did you watch Daredevil season 3?
Yes.
They basically did Born Again.
They did Born Again.
No, they
didn't.
They kind of did.
I'm with James. That's the problem. That's the problem with this announcement. And also, we have to talk about the 18. 18 has to get talked about. We have to discuss it. We have to understand what it means.
There's more episodes than any of the Netflix series.
Is it? Are we talking?
It's 13 episodes.
Someone needs to come to my house now, sit me down, and explain. It's very confusing.
So I wonder.
Here's my theory.
I wonder.
It's 3-6 episodes. It's 3-6 episodes.
Well, no, I wonder whether partly this is announced as Daredevil: Born Again. I wonder whether that this is kind of like treated as, like when a show like Dexter gets brought back and it's Dexter New Blood or whatever it is. And it's like, well, it's a new show, but it's got a new subtitle. So it's technically not the same show. And probably then for a lot of contractual reasons, you can kind of start things up again. But also contractually, you can ask all the people who were involved previously to honor the contracts that they'd signed previously. So, you know, if Eldon Henson has a 6-season contract, hello, you're back for this.
Contracts must be lapsed.
I don't know. I wonder whether that 18
or
episode
with
thing
or
has
with Marvel something else.
Whether that 18 episode thing has something to do with contractually, you know,
there were four season contracts, and so they were like, we're going to milk these fuckers for, you know, eight pence a minute for as long as we can. We're going to have them in the Atlanta like sort of filming set for, you know, for 15 months straight.
I'm really hoping what 18 episodes means is, I mean, and I do think a lot of the streamers are experimenting with this as well, is doing different episode counts and doing different kinds of orders and experimenting with the way that they release things to figure out what is the way that they can get the most bang for their buck. And that maybe this is a bit of an experiment on Marvel's point of view, with a character who has already showed up on longer season lengths than they've had before. And yeah, maybe it's like two nine episodes series, like a lot of other series.
Or three sixes.
All three, yeah, or six trees, you know.
Or 10 and 8.
Yeah.
Here's an idea. What if each season was focused on, like, one's a Daredevil season, one's a Kingpin season, one's a Karen Page season, but they all come out at the same time. I don't know. I know that sounds crazy, but that's, you get to three.
Yeah, it does sound crazy.
Way, yeah, it does.
Okay, crazy. It's late, and it's 18 episodes. There has to be a reason.
My guess is two batches.
I just hope it doesn't feel like 18 episodes, you know?
I guess
those Marvel shows,
that's
you really feel the middle slump on all of them, where you're like, oh, please
and my God,
make the story
on Netflix
happen.
Did you feel
on Netflix? Slump? Oh, God.
But I also find it wild that, because for me, the strange bit here is that they said that. Like, why do you don't need to say that? It's years away. I don't know if it's hubristic or it's like Daredevil.
It's
going to be 18 of them. Why? Why say Kevin?
It's 18 months away. It's not that far away. That's the amount of stuff we talked through is we're only 18 months away.
Jesus Christ.
And so, you know, they could make an episode a month between now and then and fulfill their contractual obligation.
Maybe that's the plan. It's like a Boyhood thing. They're going to make it in real time.
Until Charlie Cox is fully bald here.
They're going to start now because those follicles are on the way out. They've got to start producing tomorrow.
I'm very excited about this. I'm excited. I hope what they're doing is like a little bit of a riff on Born Again, but actually, you know...
episode of the week.
I hope it's episode of the week, case of the week, in a way it wasn't before. I hope Born Again means a little bit of that comics arc and a little bit of we are redoing Daredevil in the MCU. Honestly, at this point, I think pick and choose the stuff that you want to keep in the continuity, and so say it's a new thing, but you know. This is the MCU Daredevil. What you watched before wasn't the MCU Daredevil, but basically all the things that they want to remain as canon can remain as canon. They just have to.
So
like,
he still had that fight in the corridor. He had the fight in the corridor,
but he's never met Bullseye.
He didn't meet Elektra or Bullseye. Yeah.
Yeah, although I didn't mind Elektra. I didn't mind Elektra too much.
She was okay. She was okay, but it wasn't like the iconic version of that storyline. If they wanted to redo that, I'd be fine with it.
You could see them in the moments they have with Daredevil in She-Hulk and with the two of them in Echo, and genuinely also in the Spider-Man show. You could see them kind of setting, you know, throwing balls up in the air, resetting some stuff, introducing some new characters that sort of in essence represent the character these characters' roles in the Born Again comic. So therefore, when you get to Born Again, you do all have all the pieces on the board you need, even if they have slightly different names. You could see that.
And
I think we'll definitely see Karen and Foggy.
Yes. I would think so. And I would imagine those actors would. Well, I know you've said Eldon Henson's returning, but I'd imagine, you know, most of the cast of that show would be happy to return if asked. The other thing that I'm just going to throw this out there that is possible that the show could do, and I actually think that this would be interesting territory if they wanted to go down that route, is to actively play on the kind of weirdness of this character having existed in his show before, but maybe not in this universe, and maybe fuck around with, like, this character maybe remembering stuff that had happened to him before, and and then maybe being the sense of, like, something went wrong in the multiverse that has led Daredevil here. And I think especially... given Matt Murdock's emphasis on you know, his the importance of
sensory stuff.
Well, of faith to that, faith to the character, but also the sensory stuff and the like, you know, needing to trust his surroundings. That you could do some interesting stuff there with like him being like, "Am I from this world? What the fuck is what is going on here? Mm. Why do I keep getting these weird feelings of deja vu?" And like, and you know, and then like mixing his Catholic faith with, you know, this realization that actually there are lots of multiple versions of him, you know, that and that he's done this before and he's fought these fights before. And I think you know, and especially over an 18 episode order, there is the room to do a lot of the stuff we're talking about here, right? There's the room, there's the room to be episodic, and there's the room to do weird MCU stuff. And you know,
because what if you know, we're talking
revisit the greatest hits of the character.
God damn, it didn't work. you know, what if obviously it's called Born Again because, well, there is a famous style of a comic called Born Again, point number one, but also, I mean, hey, what if we're missing like an obvious sort of pun, a two pun thing, really? That one, it's Feige like not sort of nudge wink wink that the series has come back, right? It's Born Again, and also that it's actually a multiverse story, and then we figure that out by the time the series airs. But it's about this, it's about this character sort of coming back from something, and that's what the show's about. You could see it.
I'm just going to question you: are we missing this? Given that is what I've talked about, maybe this is for the past 5 minutes. I don't think I was missing any of those meanings. I think I was suggesting that all of those meanings could be there.
Sorry, let me reframe. Reese has missed this until this point in time.
Or you know, it's entirely possible that that's not there, Reese. But that's certainly one of the things that you could do with the show.
Because it's a bit like Spider-Man Homecoming, right? There was a bit of a gag there. Hey, he's back in the Marvel Universe, right? It's the same thing.
Yeah. The character has come home for Homecoming.
And it's a bit like the Kang Dynasty title in that we're all now...
Don't know what you're talking about.
You know, family members of this dynasty of MCU, and it's Kang. It's a Kang Dynasty.
No idea what that is that you're talking about. also, I can promise you that they will never pronounce it Dynasty. In the
what's dynasty?
Yes,
dynasty. Am I saying it wrong? Dynasty.
Americans say dynasty.
Yeah, if we're going to have movies coming out in fall, you're going to have dynasties. I'm afraid.
Jeez.
Okay.
Collins, rest in peace. Rest in power.
Back to the big screen for the end of Phase 5, and do you know what? I was really, really encouraged by this announcement. Captain America: New World Order will be released in May 2024. So they pretty much just announced the title and release date here. But for me, what was encouraging about this was, I guess when they announced a fourth Captain America movie coming out of Falcon the Winter Soldier, it kind of felt a bit like, okay. Well, we've just watched Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I don't know how excited I can get about that. And also that it felt like it was like, oh yeah, no, we're totally working on it. Yeah, we're working on this thing. But to actually see it on the schedule and at the business end of Phase 5, like pretty much like one of the two movies before they get into their like massive heavy hitters in Phase 6. I'm hoping that what they are doing here is properly taking this seriously, and hopefully we've got past all of the, well, it's just Sam Wilson wants to embrace the mantle of Captain America, and you know, and it's just it's a all singing, all dancing Captain America movie starring Sam Wilson, who hopefully does things a little bit differently to Steve Rogers. And New World Order, cool title.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Can I make a... I don't know. I'm going to do it. I'm going to fucking do it. You know how, so the Kang Dynasty in the comics, the storyline has Kang taken over the world, right? The Earth. James?
Yeah. Yeah.
Could this be set in that reality?
I don't think so.
Okay, goodbye.
I don't think it's, that would be very interesting
imagery
for the first movie of a Black Captain America.
This is referring to probably the Secret Empire, because that was their thing, right? Was that the Secret Empire were sort of embedded in governments around the world, and they wanted to introduce a sort of white supremacist organization to run the planet, right?
Well, then, so the obvious question then for that is: Will the antagonist be Chris Evans as evil white Captain America?
No, definitely no chance. Okay. Zero chance of that.
So
I think the villains will be the Secret Empire, like this Masonic organization, and they'll have some hench guy, I don't know, Serpent Society or whatever.
Yeah, or
am I late? Sorry, am I?
You'd have like a Redford kind of figure, wouldn't you? Right,
a Red Skull type, yeah.
Well, a red Skull or a Redford.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, Robert Redford type. Yeah.
Red Skull, Redford. Let's combine the two.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
I'll come back to my idea that, you know, that Kang takes over the world and Captain America is the point person of the resistance.
It doesn't sound very. Like very fertile ground for a Captain America movie, if I'm being honest.
Okay.
I guess it's a good Avengers movie.
Yeah.
I'm not rescinding. I'm not putting in the bin. I'm not. The bin remains, unblemished with this idea, but I'll sort of retreat it.
If you're doing two Avengers movies the year after this, it would feel a little bit early to throw yourself into that. Surely you just do that in the course of a big Avengers movie.
We'll get to it, but I've made the point already, but I do think they need to be careful to differentiate this saga from the first saga, and I just think they'll be looking for ways to do that. So I do wonder whether it would be a mistake to do the Infinity War into Endgame thing of King Kang Dynasty. It sort of has the baddie do the big thing and then you resolve it 6 months later. I think they'll want to do something different. That's all.
I guess for me, the way that Captain America 4 was announced coming out of Falcon and the Winter Soldier with the same writer, I think I would be surprised if this doesn't continue to lean into, you know, very, very explicitly talk about race in America and having a black Captain America and how that is different. And really be quite pointed in its politics. I think putting that inside a really elevated, like, fantasy version of America, however that might look, would come off as a little bit toothless. I think. I agree with you, Reese, that they probably want to do stuff differently. I just that this doesn't feel like the place to do it. New World Order to me feels more like a political thing rather than MCU lore kind of stuff.
I mean, in fairness, the New World Order again, there was a comics version of the New World Order, although I think it's a bit obscure and that it comes from, it was like Peter David's Incredible Hulk series, and the storyline wasn't finished because he sort of got booted off the book. But in that, they're a secret empire type organization who are trying to take over the planet. And founded by the Red Skull, I think. So it could be doing that. But I think it's going to be, like Joe says, down to earth, talking about race and not, you know, the mad fantasy end of the Marvel Universe. More in the vein of stuff like Black Widow.
I will say.
To
back up an aspect of Reese's theory there, I do think that there is a possibility that, like, that this could be a movie where, like, Captain America is the last of our traditional heroes left standing, that something could have happened prior to that that means that Captain America is, like, you know, one of the remaining regular MCU characters or like old school Avengers who is still around. Because, you know, you look at the projects that we've got coming up, and, you know, after Ant-Man, which is, and Secret Invasion, right? You've really only got like Guardians 3 of like recognized. Well, it's mostly off world after that. So it's either like characters that we haven't really met. It's like lower key stuff, and then into a Captain America movie. So, there is no on this slate. Doctor Strange, Hulk, Thor, you know, all of our bigger hitting characters. We're not really seeing them post this year. And it does feel like that maybe Captain America could be the, you know, could be one of the remaining characters, and a new world order could refer to a world without our traditional superheroes, especially when you are going from that 2 months later into a Thunderbolts movie, which will be a brand new superhero team that could absolutely pop up in a world where there aren't any Avengers left.
You know, James will remind us, the listeners, that the very first, you know, it's Thunderbolts comic, issue one, it comes out of Heroes Reborn, right? Yeah. It comes out of a world without Avengers. So you wonder.
What if that's the end of Ant-Man 3, that, like, Kang gets rid of all of the remaining Avengers on planet Earth? Because then the only ones that you've got left then that we're following up on are the Marvels and the Guardians of the Galaxy, who are off-world. Everyone else is kind of like, they are, you know, it's Echo, Loki, Blade, Ironheart, Agatha Harkness, Daredevil. They're all new characters, really. There's something there.
I wouldn't rule anything out. It doesn't sound like the obvious choice.
Or if something major happened to fuck up the multiverse in Loki season two as well. Or with Blade.
Well, genuinely, like, it's, you know, it's probably the movies that will hold the really, really big sort of universe changing stuff, I would have thought. And I know Blade feels far away from that, but if you look at it, you know, if you look at Thunderbolts before that, Captain America, the previous movie is Blade. So
I do think that Loki season two has the potential to do that, given that it was, you know, by all reports, the highest watched of all of the Marvel TV.
Yeah.
We should talk about Thunderbolts though. So that is coming in July 2024. So 2 months after Captain America. It was announced recently. It's now officially on the slate. They didn't announce who would be on the Thunderbolts team. Very amusingly, on the Variety write-up that I'm reading to kind of keep track of some of these as we go through them on the podcast, they start by saying, Phase 5 ends with Marvel's answer to DC Suicide Squad. I'm sure friend of the pod, Al Kennedy, is cringing reading that yet again. We've talked about this before. That's not quite what the Thunderbolts are. That's not what I expect them to be in the MCU either. I think the safe thing to assume here is that Julia Louis-Dreyfus's Contessa will
assembling be assembling that team. Yeah.
Yeah, will be assembling that team, that it will almost certainly then have the, you know, US agent on it, and what's her face, Yelena
Black Widow,
Black Widow,
Yelena, yeah,
and that probably there'll be some characters that we're going to meet in the upcoming series that are going to be in there, and maybe some others brought back from previous franchises.
The thing that cracks me up about all the write-ups to Thunderbolts, that they're just listing all the characters in the MCU who have been in any incarnation of the Thunderbolts, and it's very much like there have been so many incarnations of the Thunderbolts. Like, the Ghost version has nothing to do with the Baron Zemo version, for example. Like, don't make the mistake of thinking because those two characters were in versions of the Thunderbolts that they will be in the same version.
No, and I don't really expect...
Oh, okay.
Oh, go on.
Yeah, go on.
Well, I just think there are analogues to the original Avengers, right? So we've got got a Black Widow, we've got a Captain America, we've got potentially an Iron Man or some Iron Men.
Ironheart,
yeah.
Okay.
We've got...
It's the kind of thing that Rhodey would sign up for as well.
Yeah.
He did the Iron Patriot Hulk, thing. Right? Yeah, you could... Yeah. Yeah, you've got a Hulk, yeah. You've got a Hawkeye.
Got a Hawkeye, yeah. And yeah,
that'd be fun.
So you think that's what it could be?
I'm just going to jump in. James had a theory that there is a character in Thor Love and Thunder who would potentially work as a conduit for Thor in a Thunderbolts movie, and we'll cut the more spoilery bits that James said as part of that. There is a character in that movie who could be a Thunderbolts Thor. Okay, we'll leave it there. But yeah, I like that as a theory, James, and I think that makes more sense than trying to like create analogs to any particular team that the Thunderbolts have had on paper in the past, because I think it's the concept that they are that they are more likely to, and you know the way that I think that they've been used in the comics as well is to like react to the status quo of the Marvel Universe at a given time, right? Rather than them having to be a certain thing. And I think that's the way that you should do it in the MCU as well, is to go, what is the current status quo and how can they be interestingly introduced here? And yeah, I love the idea of doing
that idea of having them be analogs of the original Avengers team puts them in conversation with the MCU rather than
their source material,
right?
Yeah.
Like that's what it boils down to.
And I really do like the idea of having a Thunderbolts team in the MCU because your original heroes are all gone.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I do think I think there was chat. There's been chatter for the last couple of years about whether we're setting up a Thunderbolts / Dark Avengers team versus a Young Avengers team, and I kind of think that this Feige stuff slightly takes the Young Avengers bit of that out of it. You know, so you know. Even though there's not a lot of news about Thunderbolts, weirdly the timeline and then the Phase 6 stuff, I do think clarifies what Thunderbolts is a bit more, and actually probably it's a bit more the original comics idea, and that's better than making it just a mirror image team versus I think that makes sense. Yeah. I think I'm more excited for the Thunderbolts movie now than I would have been a week ago, probably.
Yeah, well, it also feels notable that it's the last in that phase as well, doesn't it?
Mm.
Okay, so that's the end of Phase 5, and then Phase 6 is... Well, what Kevin Feige put up on screen was a timeline that runs between Fall 2024 and... November 2025, with lots of different slots potentially on it, but only actually three announced projects. So I would imagine we're going to get lots of stuff popping up around this on Disney Plus, maybe some movies as well. But yeah, we should talk about the three specific projects that were announced. And we should probably also talk about that there will definitely be a Spider-Man movie around here as well, right? Because that's the way it has to happen with Sony. So you would imagine that Christmas next year there will be a Spider-Man movie. and then probably another one after Phase 6. So
yeah, and I'm sure pencil those in as Marvel well. Marvel hasn't announced them because Sony are going to announce them.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
I thought that there was so much news in on this night. So much news, which we've talked about for, you know, I think 6 or 7 hours. But also there was. It's interesting what the gaps that were there, you know, and we'll get to it, right? But like Spider-Man was just such a clear, visceral gap in what was talked about, especially because, you know, only what 6 months ago you had a movie called, you had one of the biggest grossing films of all time, which is so sort of about the multiverse.
But that's all. But that's always
named the next thing.
It's always been the case with the Marvel stuff that they can't really do it. I guess
I just think there's a funniness there, and you also miss, and Mutants is not here. I find that fascinating, and we can talk about that.
Yeah, I think they know that that's their other big thing that they can talk about in like one big swoop, though, as well, right?
But do you? Well, again, my big take after this one, you know, I'm jumping around a bit, but like, I do wonder whether Secret Wars ends and you reset the universe and you come back and you got the X-Men on Krakoa and. Then, you know, Saga 3 is the mutant saga, and the question is whether are they going to wait that long, or are they going to, and obviously Ms. Marvel,
you slow burn, you introduce some characters, you kind of nod and wink towards stuff, so that when you're ready to fully go with it, that it's already been seeded and people are excited for it. But yeah, there are obviously some other projects that weren't on this board that we were expecting to see. So yeah, James, you mentioned Nova, Wonder Man, which was only announced last week, wasn't on there. Any of the sequels,
Doctor Strange sequel?
Well, right? Any sequels to the stuff that we saw. That we saw in the
Shang-Chi,
in this first phase, right. Yeah. So I would expect to see a Shang-Chi 2. I wouldn't be stunned if there was more Eternals, but I would say that's maybe something that could wait a little bit longer. Another Doctor Strange movie would make sense somewhere around here as well. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see what fills in those gaps.
Is that it? Is that a pre-existing film? You know, there's no Hulk film. You know, I know we've got the Shield.
There's never going to be a Hulk film, James.
I find that so odd. But is that everything? Is that are there any other sequels to films that we can think of that's off the slate? I guess I saw a film recently called Thor: Love and Thunder that I suppose could
again. I think another Thor film is probably. Is not impossible, but probably a little bit later down the line.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's the main stuff. That, like, in terms of, it would then be whether you do like any like would you do a solo Yelena show or movie before you get to Thunder or after, or do any of those characters spin out of Thunderbolts maybe, or. Does anyone else that has turned up on TV show up anywhere? I guess it becomes really difficult, doesn't it? Because like you can go through those shows and go, oh, well, that character's been teased or that character's been introduced, and we've got no idea when their next is going to show up, but presumably they'll show up in something or something else at some point. You know, is there a second season to any of the other shows that we've seen?
Ms. Marvel. I think Ms. Marvel season 2 is an obvious. I mean, you know, we haven't seen the Marvels, but that's such a the setup of that, the structure of the seasons. So they could just do another 5 seasons of that. It seems so obvious, and yet, yeah, no announcement. Hawkeye season 2, right? That seems, again, you could just announce a Kate Bishop Hawkeye season 2, and that feels obvious.
When are we going to see Steven?
I saw a film recently that I thought he might be in, but there was no sign of any of that stuff. So, you know, genuinely, I don't know. Steven!
Let's talk about what actually is coming out.
Okay, yeah. So Phase 6, we have got, first up, Fantastic Four, released in November 24th. Reese, tell us all about the cast and the director.
It's Taron Egerton. I think that's quite good casting.
In all four roles.
Taron Egerton. Invisible Woman. What if Taron Egerton was invisible? And then Human Torch, Taron Egerton. He did Eddie the Eagle. He flew. What if he was on fire? And Doctor Doom, of course, Cooper Hoffman. Not bad.
The placement of this and the very specific screen with Fantastic Four going into two Avengers movies did make me think particularly, like, not only is it a big deal that they're introducing the Fantastic Four, but however they are introducing the Fantastic Four is going to be a big element of those two Avengers movies.
The Avengers.
And so whether that, you know, whether that's the way that they're introduced, or, you know, because, you know, are they,
well, okay,
are,
just quickly,
are they in the MCU already? Are they multiverse characters? Have they got their powers yet?
The point I want to make is the Avengers movie is called the Kang Dynasty, right? Kang Dynasty. Kang is a descendant canonically of Reed Richards.
Yeah.
It feels important that they're going to be around for that story.
With casting a non-white Kang, then, do you think that that plays into the Fantastic Four casting as well?
Not really.
I guess Kang traditionally is like blue, right?
Yeah, I mean, also, you know, we're talking hundreds, thousands of years down the line. There's plenty of time for one of the richest descendants to marry outside their immediate race.
To play into all of this, you know, you just could see, you know, what's been the dream of us and others of an FF movie is a 60s set, you know, Mad Men but superheroes FF movie. I genuinely could see the FF movie is 60s set. Mm-hmm. It's a multiverse story. And it ties into the Kang, you know, and maybe it's not, you know, it's not sequelized, right? And that's never the plan. It's sort of, you'll set this up and maybe, you know, maybe you, Franklin Richards' son, finds his way into the MCU after the Secret Wars reset. But like, you, to James's point, you kind of use the Kang link familiarly. But that's the milieu of that film. That's what makes it different. That's what makes it different to the other FF movies and the other MCU movies. And because you're dealing with multiverse shit, you can kind of have it connect, especially with Kang, and still make it feel relevant and vital, but not have it set in the modern world. You can see all that.
Yeah, but you still do come out the other side with those actors as the Fantastic Four in the MCU.
Yeah, but well, because at the end, you know, the Secret Wars ending, if they do the Hickman thing, then all bets, you can sort of do whatever you want. That's the magic of, they can throw all sorts of shit at the wall for the next couple of years, two, 3 years, and then pick whatever they like, and that's what sticks afterwards. And they can also be different levels of imaginative with that, or different levels of risky with that, depending on the project and depending on the sort of scale of the project. And then again, you know, sort of have whatever's left that they want to be left after it. It's a Boris Johnson thing. It's cakeism. They can have their cake and they can eat it too. I mean, that's something. It's good.
I'm secretly hoping, no, not secretly, I'm just going to say it, that Peyton Reed has really crushed with all of the Kang stuff in Quantumania, and that he's the director of this. I don't think so, because I think the rumors about Feige looking for someone big to come in and do this feels like there's a kernel of truth in that. Do you guys have any, like, does this movie have to be a Doctor Doom movie? Could it just be Fantastic Four?
I think
I was going to say it could be the Fantastic Four with any of their many interesting villains. One of the things that I look at again when they talk about having a, you know, dynasty of Kang, generally, like,
dynasty.
Immortus is a version of Kang who lives in ancient Egypt that the Fantastic Four encounter in their time machine. So there's no reason a Fantastic Four movie couldn't incorporate Doctor Doom in the time platform and they go and meet Immortus in some way.
I guess,
like, there are lots of things that make me think they could tie the Fantastic Four movie to the coming Kang stuff without doing Kang necessarily.
Counterpoint is that Doctor Doom, you have this incredible iconic villain.
If you could do Doctor Doom, why wouldn't you?
Well, no. My point's the opposite. That actually, It's looking like I'll just say it that from the Hickman Secret Wars comic, Doom is the bad guy.
Yeah.
But it looks like perhaps they are replacing him with Kang in this story, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And so therefore, and you've also got the Fantastic Four link because he's the grandson of, you know, there's the link there. So actually, for Doom, you take a breath and you say, you know, we're saving X-Men, proper X-Men. We're saving Doom. We're saving Galactus. We'll do that next time. We've got Kang. We've got the FF link. That's all sort of sorted for the Secret Wars story. We'll save Doom. That's
right.
Maybe. However, the MCU is currently missing a Loki-like character, right? Who is a villain who is closely linked. A villain closely linked to the heroes who you sort of root for as well. And I think Doctor Doom could fill that. Like, so, introduce him as a kind of anti-hero-ish villain.
I'm going to stick with my prediction from the previous episode that we did, which was that Kang... So my prediction on that episode was that Kang, I still thought, was really important in all of this. And so we should say that the other two projects that were announced are Avengers, The Kang Dynasty, May 2025, and Avengers Secret Wars, November 2025. And that Kang was still really important in all of this, which it looks like he is. And that he would be a big threat, and all of the fucking around with time that the Avengers have done, and then the opening up portals between multiverses, all of that stuff. Kang comes and is like, this shit won't fly. I'm your big bad villain. And what if the person who defeats Kang is Doctor Doom, and the one person who's worse than Kang is Doctor Doom, and that maybe what if Secret Wars is actually rather than Secret Wars being like the second act of trying to defeat
half
Kang,
of that story.
It's actually Kang versus Doom, right?
Yeah.
Well,
when I saw that they're announcing two movies, right, I looked at that and went, oh, okay, they're going to beat Kang at the end of that movie, and then the next one is going to be like the fallout from having won. In that specific way, probably Doctor Doom being like, okay, we've just defeated Kang, and now that leaves me able to take his, you know, machines and his, you know, base and do Secret Wars. I think that would be in character for Doctor Doom.
The only counterpoint would be that God, I missed a fucking Reese counterpoint the mission today. Is that you know, Kang, you've it's so clear that Kang is all over all of this stuff. Whereas Doctor Doom, you know, I don't know how you get him in earlier than the FF movie, which is a year before the second Avengers movie. I wonder whether they just would want more time to set up a character of that
yeah,
significance.
I think that's a fair point. Like, it does feel a bit quick to be like, here he is, one movie, here he is, next movie, fighting Kang with us, here he is, third movie, he's the villain. Like, that's very fast to do that story.
Unless we do meet him before that.
Maybe. It seems a bit fruitless to introduce Doctor Doom without the Fantastic Four, though.
I think
he needs that context.
We've already met Reed Richards, let's not forget.
Sure, we have. Sure.
By the way, I'll hold my hands up. I think that's something I was very wrong on, was that was a statement of intent that Krasinski was the MCU. Reed Richards.
It's looking very likely now that it's
not the case.
What do you guys think of this sort of reset then X-Men idea that I've posited? What do you think to that? The reset at the end of Secret Wars.
I think a reset at the end of Secret Wars makes a lot of sense, and I agree with your, like, you know, you can fold in all the multiverses together after that and have new versions of characters, or have the potential.
Miles Morales, right?
Yeah, Miles Morales, or doing Iron Man, having the freedom to do Iron Man again if you wanted, all that kind of stuff. Mm. I still think that, given that the word mutant has been spoken out loud in the MCU now, I think that we will, rather than having X-Men movies, that we will have, we will start to meet more and more mutants, and then whatever the status quo is for future X-Men movies will come about after Secret Wars.
Yeah, that I agree in that I think if they were saving, if they were explicitly saving X-Men until after Secret Wars, they wouldn't be dropping hints now. Mm. But also, I mean, there was that chatter as well, wasn't there, that they'd registered something called the Mutants. There was a rumor that they were going to make a TV show or a movie that was just called The Mutants, where that was a code name or something, I don't know. But it feels like, even if they haven't announced it, there is stuff going around.
Because it was, I don't think it was picked up enough at the time. It was notable that when Feige talked about mutants, he that's the word he used. He didn't say X-Men. They've never said X-Men, right? That sort of, they have.
He has said X-Men, because at one point he said like, we've got stuff on the table. We've got Fantastic Four. We've got X-Men. Like,
no, I could have sworn it was Mutant.
You said X-Men 97, the animated series. I'll lay a prediction out there right now. Wolverine is in Secret Wars.
Okay.
Now, Chris Evans is in Secret Wars.
I think we're likely to see Chris Evans again. But I think probably...
Okay, well, that doesn't sound like a prediction, James. That sounds like a...
If we see Chris Evans, we see him having a death scene in New World Order.
Oh, you sicko. You sicko. You just want to bring him back to see him die.
Listeners, we've edited out a spoiler for The Grey Man. But if there are any movies that you would like either James or Reese to spoil, just tweet at them and I'm sure they'd be welcome to do it.
With Hereditary, what it is what happens. Do you guys think, speaking of The Grey Man, genuinely, quickly, do you guys think the Russo brothers direct those Avengers movies?
No.
So then who do you think does?
Oh, that is a very good question. Is there like a star of the show in house at the moment?
Like
the way that they picked the Russos out of the Captain America franchise. Like, is there someone? It doesn't feel like
John Watts.
No, it's not. Watts.
He's Taika Waititi.
It's not a Taika or James.
I won't give my comment on that. Please no.
It's not a Taika or a James Gunn join. It's just, yeah, I don't know. Maybe someone emerges from this upcoming slate of films. I guess
it's tough to know who's got.
Yeah,
is it Bilal and Afar, the guys who made the first and last episode of Ms. Marvel and are making the Batgirl movie? I don't know. You know, there's two of them.
That's something for us to ponder on. Let's have a think about that. We should talk about the non MCU stuff just so we can wrap this podcast up and grant our listeners sweet release. there's some animated stuff in there in the MCU as well. So obviously we got a trailer and a poster for the I Am Groot shorts, which are 5 animated shorts, which. I guess what I hadn't clocked about those is it's the CG animation, you know, of the character from the movies. So maybe they're in continuity rather than... I just assumed that it was going to be like an animated thing, like What If? But...
I mean, from the trailer, it looks pretty fun. I don't think any of us is going to do too many podcasts about that.
Oh, we'll all watch it.
This has never burned me in the past. I'm going to do an episode-by-episode recap of the Iron Groot show, and as all the promises I've made on this show, this will happen, and it will be great. Is Vin going to voice?
Yeah, he would sue if he wasn't doing. I'm hoping we come away from that like Forky asks a question, which is still, for my money, one of the finest things they've put out on Disney Plus.
I feel like Groot can only ask one question, which is, I am Groot. So, I mean, we'll see.
What If Season 2 is coming early 2023. James, you're excited about that.
I don't know What If.
X-Men 97 is coming fall 2023.
Very excited about that.
James,
good.
Did we learn anything new about that?
We learned that Magneto is going to be the leader of the X-Men because it's following on from what happens at the end of season 5, which is that Professor Xavier
goes
to space.
Like that.
Yeah,
that's crazy. It follows the events of season 5 of a show that aired 25 years
ago. Yeah, so it's good. He's gonna be running the team, so that's fun. And Morph is going to be in there.
The little clay guy.
No, the X-Men. The X-Men character, Reese.
He's and Pingu, be in there. All of them.
And, yeah, apparently there was footage shown, which was very in the spirit of the show. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good.
Well, also, can I just make... There was a... I read a weird tweet, and that's just every day of my damn life. There was, like, a comment about how they were asked if it was in canon, and then the producers sort of gave a weird answer that made me think... It just made me think, yeah, you know, this could be genuinely could be revealed as some sort of explicit multiverse thing, you know, a bit like what if I wonder whether these animated shows are going to sort of try and they'll try and feel relevant to casual fans by trying to be connected to the MCU, but it'll be a multiverse link, which is a bit of a cheat. But anyway, we'll see.
That's all. Speaking of confusing continuity, Spider-Man Freshman Year, James, which is coming coming in 2024. I thought that what we were expecting for that show was that it would be an animated show that was, whether it was voiced by him or not, but the Tom Holland Spider-Man in his freshman year at college. But it appears not.
Yeah, well, that's what the expectation was. I think that may have been how it was originally announced, but it quickly became clear when they were doing the announcement for this that it's completely its own thing. They did explicitly say it's going to be its own universe, even though Charlie Cox Daredevil is showing up, but they're also going to have a Norman Osborn. They're going to have him get a suit off Norman Osborn, I think. Dr. Octopus is going to be in it, like the classic Dr. Octopus version. So, yeah, it's his own continuity. It's nothing to do with the MCU, which is a surprise.
And were they explicit about that?
They were explicit that this is its own continuity and nothing to do with the MCU, yeah.
So it couldn't be multiverse stuff.
Except that Charlie Cox is in it.
Yeah, that I found confusing.
It's the thing with multiverses, right, is that anything can be part of the multiverse. It doesn't have to feed into anything, right? Because, like, we saw Captain Carter in What If, but the Captain Carter in Multiverse of Madness was a different version of Captain Carter. So yeah.
Can I guess what this is, which is that Sony have the live-action rights to Spider-Man, but that Marvel have... You know, whether they have always had it or have had it returned to them, the animated rights to Spider-Man. And so in a weird way, it's almost like the way Sony are trying to nozzle off of the MCU stuff to try and blur the waters as to whether they are involved in that or not, and that includes Morbius and shit. Like, weirdly, maybe this animated show is also trying to do the same in the other direction. They're like, yeah, well, you know, it's we can connect to the MCU as much as we like, but we kind of can't connect to the Spider-Man Sony shit, you know, as much as we like.
Okay, so that's all the animated stuff then. So yeah, a lot of Marvel definitely dominated Comic-Con. But we should talk quickly about the let's say two big comics related trailers and one other comics related trailer that felt less big. But we'll mention it in conjunction with some of the other stuff. We got the first trailer for Shazam 2, which
can
is
I just jump in? Let me just jump. I found it. Sorry. It's just so funny to me that, you know, I can't remember when, 10 years ago or like 8 years, I think more than that, like, you know, Feige at SDCC dominates, DC don't get a word in. It's just funny that nothing's changed, you know, like I remember, I you know, this weekend, if the DC, we'll get to it, but the DC stuff was like a fart in the wind compared to, you know, the kind of marketing bounce that Feige's announcements can make. I just find it so funny that there is nothing in comparison. It wasn't even a new Black Adam trailer. You know, the sort of the disorganization of the DC is hilarious.
There was a new Black Adam trailer.
That Black Adam trailer that came out was the one I saw in front of Thor.
Yes.
A couple of weeks earlier.
I saw that trailer in front of a film that I've seen recently. Yes, I've seen a film recently where I saw that trailer in front of also.
Do you know what then? Maybe I'd seen that trailer before, but...
you didn't remember.
No, when I went to see Thor, I had my AirPods in through the trailers because I don't tend to like watching the trailers, so I just keep my AirPods in and like glaze over. Unless there's something very specifically that I'm like, ooh, Avatar trailer. Okay. Let me experience this on the big screen.
Avatar.
Mostly I'm AirPods.
Avatar.
In dude, yeah, yeah.
Yes, Avatar. Hell yeah.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Get out of here. JC. It's just funny how, you know, in the same period, DC has gone through like, what, three different corporate owners, multiple different sort of relaunches of what they are. And who
they can just about squeak out a Batman movie.
It's just funny. The weird
thing for them this weekend, particularly, is that the very big thing that they should probably be hyping the way that Marvel are like, right, now we're going to close with our trailer for the movie that's coming out at the end of this year that we're all really excited about. DC can't do that because they can't talk about
Which
brings me on to the trailer for Shazam Fury of the Gods, which I was stunned, opened up with like Shazam talking about, like, explicitly, I am in this universe with these other DC characters, including The Flash,
Ben Affleck Batman,
and then you're like, oh, why
read the room, guys.
Yeah, why are we doing this? really interesting that they are sticking with that creative decision, because obviously the end of the first Shazam movie is the headless Superman cameo. Like, that's how long Henry Cavill's not been involved with this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is purely for the trailer and purely to say to audiences, hey, this is the same universe as all those other guys.
Oh yeah, yeah, sure.
I don't
think
that footage is going to be in Shazam. No, I don't know why.
Why are we selling the movie on that at this point? That felt like a curious thing.
Like I say, it feels like they really not read the room on what people think about the DCEU. Maybe it's for the Snyder fans. Who knows?
But I don't think the Snyder fans are very keen.
They're not
going to
turn
Shazam
up for Shazam, are they? No.
Well, they're not, because 30% of them are bots.
Yeah.
What's funny to me is you could genuinely say, James, I don't know if you agree, you know, I think it's almost with comics, it's funny how like big universe altering storylines kind of happen at the same time in DC and Marvel in comics, and that sort of feels like it's always, and it's sort of it's not like an Armageddon Deep Impact thing where they're one studio is copying the studios to do. It's just the pace of these things happens at the same time. You could genuinely see a sort of a universe reset thing now that DC is under Discovery, and I think David Zasloff is the Discovery guy. Like, it's under new management and they're going to have to kind of muddle through the next 18 months, 2 years, but you could see a proper reset of all that happening around the same time as Avengers Secret Wars. I just find that hilarious. Or, in the same way that, you know, BVS happened, what, three months before or after Civil War, like, you know, there's this odd syncope in the movie universes, just like the comic stuff. I find that funny because I do think we're getting to that point.
Nolan production company.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oppenheimer trailer in front of a movie I've seen recently. A recent view of mine. Yeah, it was cool. But yes, that was the high point of the visit, perhaps. Anyway. So yeah, so that's interesting, but we'll see.
I kind of feel like that the smartest direction for DC from here would just be to go, movies are connected to each other when we want them to be, and they're not connected to each other when we don't want them to be.
I mean, that's almost what they're doing, though, right?
Yeah, it's kind of what they're doing at the moment.
The question is, why do they want this to be connected to the rest of it?
Yes, specifically for this trailer, I was just surprised that they would lean into that in the way they're selling the movie. But they did, and then the actual trailer itself, I thought, was pretty charming. Very weird. I thought having Shazam explain to Helen Mirren that it's kind of like the Fast and Furious movies that she's in.
Yeah.
like, again, one of those things that I'm like, don't remind me. Like, have him say that, but not to that particular character. Don't remind me of the artifice of it within the actual scene. But yeah, so we got Helen Mirren and Lucy Liu as some gods who are furious. Rachel Zegler's in there as well. I get the impression that she might be less straight villain and maybe more like sympathetic antagonist. I don't know. But what I liked about this trailer was just the Shazam family were back. And, you know, the first movie, I liked those kids. I thought it was really cool when they all turned into the grown-up heroes. And I'm looking forward to having a fun time with those characters again.
Yeah, though it does seem like they're finding ways to try and not have them together too much.
I think this film's going to be a proper fucking bomb, actually. That's my take.
Wait, creatively or financially?
Financially. I just think that
feels more likely, I think, yeah.
I just watch this and I go, hold on, so what the big pitch of this sequel is Zachary Levi versus Helen Mirren? Like, what? I also think, because I kept on being like, okay, well, now this, then they'll reveal Pierce Brosnan who's in this, and then they'll reveal, you know, Noé Centineo who's in this. And then by the end of the trailer, you're like, oh no, that's the other one. Like, this is, you know, this has Helen Mirren and Rachel Zegler, and that's, you know, it just doesn't feel big enough. It doesn't feel, this feels like a Disney Plus show in a weird burn on it. And I just, you know, am I going to pay my 17 quid to go to a cinema to see this? As a normal person, I don't.
Someone's quoting London prices.
This is a bust and a bomb, and yeah, at least Black Adam has, it feels like it's trying to justify its existence more with the casting and with the premise and with the star and etc. And this is like, this is a whole lot of nothing.
But isn't that a bit depressing? Like, wouldn't we like it when I watch these two trailers next to each other? Yeah, Black Adam might feel bigger, but does it look better? I would say
no, not in any way.
And I would, yeah, I would hope that audiences turn up to this more than they turn up to, unless it turns out that Black Adam's really well reviewed. But yeah, they're watching these two trailers direct, like literally back to back on a YouTube trailer reel that I was watching. I was like, yeah, Shazam looks sweet. It looks like it stands out from the superhero crowd in doing something, you know, tonally distinct to certainly the rest of the DC stuff, and that wouldn't really feel at home in the MCU. Was Black Adam, I don't know, like I get that sentiment of them going like, oh, we're throwing this character at it and this character, and that, like, the way that every time they talk about the movie they use that fucking the power balance of the DC universe is about to change. Yeah. And it's like, from what to what? I don't care. What do you mean the power? In the DC universe? No, who's the most powerful character in the DC universe? Superman. What have you done with him recently? Fucking nothing. So, like, there isn't any power balance that can shift unless that movie is going to have Superman in it. Fair play if they get Cavill back. I think a lot of DC fans were hoping Cavill was going to be showing up at Comic-Con, and it didn't happen. But yeah, it just it annoys me every time it says that. Especially because if we are leading towards a Black Adam versus Shazam movie, that, again, watching those back-to-back feels like, not sure that's the way I would go.
Don't you want to see The Rock beating the hell out of Zach Levy? Is that not what you want?
No. And then if that's not the direction they are ultimately going in, why are they making those movies?
Yeah.
Well, why are they making them, releasing them close together and having the suits, you know, so similar? But I don't know. The Shazam trailer looked good. The Black Adam trailer looked like a teaser trailer that they've released after the fall trailer. Weird that they've even cut that together. Especially
to be fair,
and exclusive for Comic-Con.
Just to offer some balance, I really enjoyed the Black Adam trailers, and I think I'm going to enjoy that movie. I think I'm going to enjoy Shazam 2 more, but I'm quite excited because I like Black Adam as a character, and I think it's fun to have him fight the JSA.
It's all quite directionless. You know, going back to my previous point, like both those trailers and the SDCC like presentation, it's all just.
It is insane that Marvel is releasing what is like effectively they're like, oh, we've planned up to sequel number 35, and DC are like, maybe a Shazam Black Adam crossover.
Iron Man came out in 08, so the SDCC presentation would have happened in 07, I'm guessing. So that was, you know, that was 15 years ago, and the fact that like DC is still, you know, putting their
fucking, like, we might do a sequel to the Batman
15 within 5 years, and they're nowhere. The best they've got is, oh, I guess we'll put Lady Gaga will be Harley Quinn in a Joker sequel. Yeah, fine. That will make a lot of money, but like that's the big idea. You know,
that's the idea.
Yeah, but that's.
I guess that the frustrating thing for me is like I don't care about directionless if the approach is we release a lot of movies. It's just the fact that it feels so hodgepodge at the moment that like, well, this thing might be connected to that and that thing might be connected to that. And we are doing solo movies, but we're kind of cracking on with the DCEU. But are we like, do we even want Wonder Woman to be a part of that? Do we want that to be its own thing? Because we're you know, specifically keeping her own movies in the past. I don't care about disconnected movies. That would be fine. I think the reason it feels directionless is because they seem to be doing like big crossover things like the Flash movie that they can't talk about at the same time as doing this. You know, some stuff in the universe, some stuff not, and really, you know, wild that we got to this Shazam. It's this Shazam sequel trailer that has revealed it's part of the DCEU, incontrovertibly. I don't think that was explicit in the first movie, from what I can remember.
But he meets Superman at the end.
He meets a Superman.
He meets a Superman. Yeah.
No. That first Shazam movie is explicitly in the DCEU.
Is it?
Into my
that
mind.
Might
yes
that might be right, who knows, can't remember. Final trailer that we need to talk about before we finish the podcast is the Sandman trailer, which I think we'll definitely be talking about a lot more on this podcast once that show comes out
in about a week's time. Yeah,
and I thought it was like, yeah, this was the first time I was like, oh, it looks big and important, and maybe has a chance at holding its own against some of these like mega projects that are coming out from the other streamers that were all, you know, releasing trailers at Comic-Con as well.
I think he looked cheap and small.
Did you?
Because I thought that about the previous footage with TV. Yeah. This trailer,
I still wasn't convinced myself.
Yeah, no, this trailer made me go, okay, no, maybe they've got a good chance of nailing it.
Well,
I thought,
okay, there is a bit more of a sense of scale here. I'm still not sure what to really grasp onto. As someone who doesn't know Sandman, there's a blonde guy who seems like antagonist, and there's the dreamy guy who is the hero, but I'm not sure what anyone wants or why it matters. But I did think that this looked like it had scale and less like some of the other Neil Gaiman adaptations that have all felt like Doctor Who budget level. This felt like it had Doctor Who vibes, but with a Netflix budget.
This felt like Umbrella Academy budget, but I think the problem is that this ought to feel like Stranger Things budget, you know, Loki season one budget. That's how this show should feel, and yet, you know, I just don't think it sold me on that. And then there's no premise to the trailer. There's no, to Joe's point, there's no like, and
I think
comic, right? There's no explanation of here's what this is might be, and here's why this might be a compelling story. And then I think Tom Storage doesn't sort of sell you in the scenes of this, because this is the most we've seen of him, right? So yeah, I don't know. I have the exact same position on this as I had before, which is maybe it connects, but it feels like it. If it does, it'll be a bit fluky, or it'll be because it's good and people watch it, and you know, and I'm worried about. Yeah, I could see this being cancelled after a season by Netflix because nobody watches it.
Yeah, like, I get that. That also is in.
It's definitely
like, the range of outcomes.
Definitely possible. But like the thing I think is that it's kind of hard to do stuff about a continuing story because it seems like they're gonna quite closely follow the early stuff and do like very self-contained, almost anthology-like stories starring Dream. So, like, they're doing...
On an episodic basis or on, like, a season basis, do you mean?
On an episodic basis, because, like, Neil Gaiman has said, like, one of the episodes is going to be the, like, serial killer convention diner episode. Mm. So that is just going to be one episode of TV, like, one short story.
And... Well, if what you're saying is that Netflix are doing a big, expensive show that's kind of episodic, like, okay, I'm interested because they never do that. So, you know, okay, cool. Yeah, cool. Genuinely cool.
But then also, the reason I think the trailer isn't very story-based is because the trailer is just heading out to... This trailer basically is heading out to nerd fans. Like, the people who are going to watch Sandman are going to pick it up from episode one when it comes up on the Netflix home screen. Right, yeah. They're not going to watch a trailer and go, "Oh, maybe they're just going to go episode one and click." Right,
I think
so. It doesn't really matter how much the trailer sells it or not.
The show is in weeks' time. This does not this for the cost justification for Netflix. Doesn't this have to connect with a wider audience? Not just the
entry point of Sandman is like zero friction. So it doesn't like. Do you watch a trailer before you watch a Netflix show, or do you just click episode one?
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, listen, that's fair.
We will find out very soon. I thought the trailer looked better, but yeah, it's entirely possible that this is another one of those shows that disappears into the streaming abyss. But we will find out. We will find out in over the course of the next couple of weeks. So that was San Diego Comic Con. It was mostly the MCU multiverse saga. So very happy for Kevin Feige.
You're very happy for Kevin Feige, aren't
you? Yeah. He's, you know,
he seems
like it's going well for him, and you know, yet again, after, you know, a run of MCU movies in phase four and TV shows that, you know, quality wise has felt like a step down from what's come before, I am looking at movies that are released 2.5 years from now and going, oh, I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, there was a film I saw quite recently that I really questioned Kevin Feige's, you know, talent as a manager and as a human being and as a organizer of. so yeah, I agree with you.
Doctor Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so yeah, we can look forward to the Dynasty and the Wars and the Fours. But that's it for us now. We'll be back on the main feed next month with more news. I'm sure it will probably be towards the end of the month, given that most of the
there's going to be no news now.
I've dropped all the news now. But yeah, next up on the Patreon is Thor: Love and Thunder, and a movie that has been referred to zero times on this podcast. And
I'll look it up.
Coming out of that to talk about She-Hulk when that debuts next month as well. Thanks for listening, and yeah, we'll see you soon.
Goodbye.
That was awful.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.